Hey, good afternoon, Juneau. It's 5 seconds before 3 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTLO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon, and I have a wonderful lineup of guests. We're going to hear from Stacy Paulson, who's going to bring us up to date on what's happening in the Nugget Malls. Some folks will come in to tell us about Wednesday night's Mudroom Show, a successful new season on the way here. Wednesday evening, we'll also be having a special showing of a film at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, and George Brown will come in to tell us about Escape Fire. And some folks from the Juno Douglas High School and the TMHS softball teams are getting together to put together a fundraiser to pay for some travel, and they're going to be telling us about the plans for that. Right now, it's time for National Native News, so stay tuned for Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Alaska Native communities address domestic violence prevention at a summit this week in Juneau. KTOO's Lisa Fu reports.
The goal of the state-sponsored prevention summit was for communities to share strategies for how to prevent domestic violence and sexual assault. In Bethel, Reverend Ishmael Andrew works as the Engaging Men and Boys Coordinator for Tundra Women's Coalition, a nonprofit that runs a women's shelter and provides educational outreach. For Andrew, prevention is about practicing a traditional way of life.
Prevention to us is shooting a moose and bringing it home and, you know, giving it to the whole community. That's what prevention means to us, keeping ourselves busy instead of being idle at home.
After 3 days of attending workshops, networking, and hearing about prevention strategies used throughout the state, Andrew says he's even more confident about the work he's doing.
The Prevention Summit has really opened my eyes and made me believe that I can speak up for the people in our region now. We have resources in our communities that we really need to be going to, which are the elders and those who have been authentically living the way of life.
When he's not at work, Andrew is at home in the nearby village of Neposkiak, where he tries to spread the same values. For National Native News, I'm Lisa Fu in Juneau.
Unemployment rates for Native American workers show disparities compared to non-natives, according to a new Economic Policy Institute study. Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhurov has more.
The study looked at states with sizable Native American populations and calculated the employment-to-population ratio for workers between the ages of 25 and 54. It found that the gap was smallest in Mississippi at 5% and largest in South Dakota, where it was nearly 33%. Wyoming came in at about 16%. But Algernon Austin, who directs the program on race, ethnicity, and the economy at the Institute, says that when adjusted for certain factors, the gap narrowed.
After you adjust, you know, for age and gender and marital status and all of the other things that we controlled for, Wyoming actually came out to be one of the better states for Native Americans.
But that gap stayed significant in other states even after such adjustments.
Which increases the concern that part of the problem may be that American Indians continue to face discrimination in the labor market.
Austin says that in the overall analysis, education level was the single most important factor in determining employment. For National Native News, I'm Irina Zhurov.
Native leaders met at the Capitol Thursday to pressure lawmakers to end federal trademarks held by the Washington football team. Matt Laszlo has details.
When people in the Washington, D.C. region hear Redskins, they think football. But when many Native Americans hear the name, it sends shivers through them. Here's Suzanne Harjo, president of the Morning Star Institute.
This is what it means to us. It harkens back to those days when we were literally skinned and our body parts used for proof of Indian kill.
The team has 6 federal trademarks that opponents want federal officials to rescind. It also has 5 pending trademarks, which many Native leaders also want halted. Oklahoma Republican Congressman Tom Cole is from the Chickasaw Nation. He says the team should just look to the example of the NBA Washington Wizards and just change its name.
When you're in a community that is sensitive enough to change the name of its basketball team, from the Bullets to the Wizards because it doesn't want to promote violence, this to me is a pretty obvious thing to deal with.
This week, 61 faith leaders sent the Redskins a letter denouncing their team name. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
On this day in 2012, U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack released a report on sacred sites, calling for the USDA and the Forest Service to work more closely with tribes on access and protection of sites. Employee training on tribal history, law, and culture was also a recommendation. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And it's 5 minutes and 43 seconds after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. My first guest today is a frequent and welcome visitor to KTOO. Stacy Polson from the Mall comes in several times a year and updates us on all of the things that go on at the Mall. You have an amazing panoply of events. Your calendar, I think, takes a big spread on a web page in order to get the whole year in. But it's December, and Santa's coming, and there's all kinds of things going on. Right now, I think you have gingerbread houses on display all through the mall, right?
We do, yes. Yeah. We've got an even dozen gingerbread houses, from elementary up to adult, and they're very fun to look at. So they are in the empty
room.
No fair
taking a nibble. That's not done until December 22nd when they come down. And then Okay. And they're probably sprayed with fixatives, so I'm not sure it's going to totally work.
Yeah, well, they belong to somebody else.
Yeah, well, is that true? Yeah. Anyway, so what are the themes extant? What are we seeing?
They're in the room next to GNC, in between Lucky Louie's and GNC. The theme, well, gingerbread. Yeah, and leftover Halloween candy.
But you were saying one of them's a Hobbit house?
And it's excellent. They even made candy glass windows. They have Gandalf in the front. And she said that there was a table inside with food on it, too. So very detailed.
Oh. Yeah. Good heavens. Well, I'll have to go in and take it in. So furnishings inside the house as well.
Yes. You can't see them, but apparently there are.
Mm-hmm. And hungry dwarves hanging out.
And there's even a couple of villages that several people got together to make. It's very fun.
Well, it's an interesting seasonal art form that's worth taking in. Gingerbread houses have a long history in the United States. And then I guess tomorrow it gets pretty exciting around there as the planes begin flying up and down through the center of the mall, buzzing people.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Gatineau Air Modelers will be there with their remote-controlled aircraft and several of their aircraft. They're designed and made by the members of Gastineau.
So. Yeah, within recent years now, model aircraft have taken advantage of the sizing down of batteries and engines so that you can actually get one that's light enough you can fly it indoors.
Well, I don't know if you've been to Radio Shack lately, but their little helicopters are on the Guinness Book of World Records for being tiny. And they're so cute. And Rachel said they take a beating.
Yeah, And I ran into a guy who was flying a drone out to take pictures of whales this summer.
So that would be cool.
That's quite clever, too. The thing was a drone helicopter kind of thing. It was about, maybe the size of a bread box. And he had cameras mounted on it. And
wow,
he was
a lot of money invested in that.
But he
wouldn't want that to go for a drone.
Spectacular films, got to be, So anyway. Yeah, so and if you go to this event on Saturday, then the kids get free gliders, it looks like.
They have in the past given out balsa wood gliders,
Okay,
and they'll be there from 10 until 7, because we start our holiday hours this Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're adding an hour on to each end of our day. So Monday through Friday, it's going to be 10 until 9 o'clock, and Saturday 10 until 7, and Sunday noon until 6.
Huh. And so this is right across the hall from Hearthside.
In our community room, which is right next to Gourmet Alaska, Hearthside.
Yeah, okay, good. All right. And then Santa's going to be in the mall?
He will be. He'll be here this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, from noon until 4. And then next Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th. The 18th and 19th is actually a Wednesday and a Thursday.
Yeah.
And that will be in the evening from 5 until 7. And then the last days he'll be here are the 21st and 22nd from noon until 6.
So nicely planned out. There's all kinds of opportunities to get the kids in there to express a wish to Santa.
Yeah, and they get a free candy cane and a little toy when they visit him. And they take fantastic pictures. Of course, all of the money that they raise goes to a charity. I think it's St. Baldrick. Don't quote me on that one. But yeah, that is a fundraiser.
Okay, so again, the schedule for Santa is Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4, you said?
This weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, and then Wednesday and Thursday from 5 to 7 in the evening. And then Saturday and Sunday from noon to 6.
On the 21st and 22nd.
21st and 22nd. Good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Petco has been taking pet pictures. I understand they're going to do it one more time this weekend. Is that right?
I think that they're less. Yeah, I don't know. That you put me on the spot.
I think they're on Saturday, according to your schedule online, at least. It says that they're going to be in there on December 14th from 1 to 3.
Okay.
So
I didn't bring that with me.
I'm a tighter reader of your
webpage. But yes, they
have
had Santa over there taking photos with pets,
yeah, cool.
Which is great.
Okay. And then you have gift wrappers.
We do.
Who's wrapping gifts?
Thunder Mountain High School Drama Debate and Forensics Club are trying to raise money for traveling, and they're going to be here for quite a while. They're going to be here from the 14th through the 24th. Now, the hours differ, and you can find a schedule on the mall office, which lists those, and also on the three stanchions in our entryways that list the hours.
So if you're shopping, you buy something, you can drop it off at the table.
They do a great job.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
And they'll keep it out of sight until you can get back there when your significant other, the recipient of the gift, is not around and tuck it into a bag and walk
away. Knock
on
wood.
Right.
Yeah,
there you go.
They'll be in the old Zell spot, which is right across from the Big Dipper ice cream.
Ah, okay.
Store.
Down on the far end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool. And then you're closing down Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Yes, we'll be closing at 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and we'll be closed all day on Christmas. But hopefully we'll be giving a giant stocking away to somebody to enjoy on Christmas Day.
All right.
Yeah, and that will be announced on the 21st at 4 p.m. So this stocking is about 4 feet tall, I think.
How does someone get in the running to own this stocking?
There will be a table set up in the middle of the mall that has entry forms, and you just put your name in.
Put your name in. Some way to get a hold of you,
yeah, exactly.
If you've won the stocking,
yeah.
And you're gonna give that away on the 21st.
21st,
a 4-foot high stocking. Stores in the mall put things in, or
they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
it's quite a win.
Yeah. Sounds like it could brighten a Christmas tree some considerable amount.
Yeah, I think this is the third year we've done it, and I know all the past winners have been very happy to receive it.
So sometime between now and then, you want to walk by. When's the table set up?
It's actually set up today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So time
today
to...
it's by Joanne Fabric, but tomorrow it will be closer to the old Plumtree, which is across from Holly's Hallmark.
Okay. So walk up and down through the mall, find this table, fill out one of those things, drop it in the box, and put yourself in the drawing for the 4-foot-high Christmas stocking. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, I guess malls are famous for putting on events around Christmas, but I think our local mall does a bang-up job of this. I mean, you really plan out a wonderful set of events that happen.
Thank you.
We're going to play a piece of music now, and the only thing you don't have, which is called out in this music, is a revolving door.
Which, that's right.
Which every mall should actually have. Stacy, thank you so much for updating us on this thing. One more time, the Santa schedule, probably most important to parents with kids.
December 14th and 15th, noon to 4. December 18th and 19th, which is a Wednesday and Thursday, 5 to 7. And December 21st and 22nd, noon to 6.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Every Christmas, Grandma Hall takes us Christmas shopping down to Macy's on the mall, where the joint is hopping. Once through the revolving door, twice through the revolving door, thrice through the
Come along, children.
Come along, it's Christmas on the mall, with Bruno, Shirley, Sue, and Mike, and Spike, and Grandma Hall. Little Spike gets brought along a list as long as he is tall.
Let's go see Santa.
Come along, it's Christmas on the mall. Off we raced and joined the hysteria. Grandma Hall could not have been cheerier. Bought us luncheon at the buffeteria. Shakes and franks and fries.
Come on, Santa. Then we got online to see Santa Claus. Waited, waited, waited for Santa Claus. Spike got 15 seconds with Santa Claus. Ho, 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 time flies. Grandma said,
I got to buy a tie for Uncle Lee. We'll meet back here in camping gear at 3:15.
Bruno said,
we'll be here.
And we watched her disappear.
Where to, gang?
To toys! To toys! To toys! To toys!
Up the escalator, we're thundering. Down the escalator, we're thundering. Up the escalator, we're thundering. On our way to toys. Come along,
to toys.
Come along.
To toys.
It's Christmas on the mall.
Ta-da! Mickey!
And kids!
And stuff for girls and boys.
And even though you know that you could never have it all,
it's fun to dream, so come along.
It's Christmas on the mall. At 3:15 we headed back, but Grandma Hall was late. So we found a tent with sleeping bags and crept inside to wait. Unknown to us as time went by, 3:30, 4, 4:10, our grandma had forgotten us and gone home on the crosstown bus.
She died back now and then.
And meanwhile in our TV, we all fell fast asleep.
Hey, Bruno, wake up. We fell asleep. It's really late.
Oh, no. Through the flap, we softly stepped on new-fallen plastic snow.
It's so quiet.
It's empty.
I bet it's closed for the day. We're locked in.
What do we do?
I know. We'll play. Come along. Come along. It's Christmas on the mall.
We're going to get in trouble.
No, we're going to have a ball. Surely, Spike, don't you get it? We can have it all. It's magic time. Come along.
It's Christmas on the mall. Up in music played all the cool guitars. Down in Delhi ate all the chocolate bars. Raced from aisle to aisle in the pedal cars, bikes and scooters. And up in pets we checked the aquarium, then hooked up a home planetarium. Thundered through the ladies' underwearium toward computer land. Shirley found the switch and turned on 64 TVs. 61 Fred Flintstones and 3 NYPDs. Then Bruno on a forklift truck came roaring through the door.
Who wants a ride?
I did.
Come on!
We tore off through the store. Through antiques, through shoes and sneaks, our reckless ride extended. And there in...
It's 17 minutes after 3 o'clock. 18 minutes after 3. And you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. My next guest is here to tell us about the umpty-umpth playing of Mudrooms, which is this program where we get 7 speakers to come in and talk for 7 minutes each. We charge $7 a head in order to get in the door, and they talk on a theme. And this happens once a month now. And all of the proceeds from the whole thing for the first half of the season go to, one charity, and then to the second half of the season you're given to another. And Alita Buss is here to tell us all of that stuff.
That's right, Pat. We're in our third season, and this season, as you mentioned, we're donating our proceeds to Discovery Southeast, and the second half of the season will be to Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yeah.
So I heard Amanda say the other day we've raised in total $12,000 in 3 seasons for charity, so we're
right.
Excited about that.
Yeah, it's important to understand that you know, you kind of keep your costs way down low, and then everything that you possibly can pull out of this thing goes to a charity.
That's right.
Yeah,
yep, we have a few costs associated with renting the church and doing a little bit of promotion. You know, we have our flyers up around town that you'll see each month telling who our storytellers are and when we're performing. So.
And so you're getting crowds of a few hundred people showing up at these events, and they're at Northern Light United Church now.
Northern Light Church, this is our first time. We were at Holy Trinity the first couple seasons, and Northern Light gives us a little bit more space, better parking, and we really like their sound system. They have a great sound system going over there. So
So the next one of these things is Wednesday night?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, okay. And it's at Northern Light Church. And the speakers that you have on schedule right now are Katie Bosler, our K2 and UAS frequent guest on my show, at least. She shows up every once in a while to talk about UAS events. And like
that's
that.
Right. So, and she's a veteran. She's spoken once before at Mudroom.
Steve Sue Wing.
That's right.
And let's see, Carla Hart. You have two veterans per show. Who's the other veteran this time?
Clint Farr.
Clint Farr, okay. Yeah.
And he's on our board, Clint. Okay. So he knows the drill.
Okay. And then Bill Lady is coming in.
Yep.
Okay. Katie Moritz. And Kathy Hawker, well-known wildlife artist here in Juneau.
Well, and you know her from karate?
Yeah, she's one of the people I work with, you know, work out with in karate.
Do you know what she's going to be telling a story about?
I do not. She would not even, she's very silent about this. So we're looking forward to it.
You'll be there to listen to her story.
Oh, yeah, got it. Got to do it.
Good.
Got to do it, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So, and then this goes on. I mean, there's one every month.
There's one every month.
So the next one is January 14th. That's on a Tuesday night.
Yep, okay. we alternate between Wednesday and Tuesday nights. It gets confusing for some people, but our schedule is always on the website, mudrooms.org.
Well, I'm real glad it's on a Wednesday because karate meets Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. So.
And that's why we do that, so that people who do have weekly commitments can come every other month.
Now, we should say that there is a theme for each one of the Mudroom's presentations. The one tomorrow night is awkward.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
And you've all been there, whether you said the wrong thing or you had your skirt tucked into your hose at an important meeting or, I don't know, laughed so hard you know.
One of those, yeah. All of us have experienced those. So the next one is, the theme is grace.
It is. January, yeah. Yep. Great.
Okay. And by the way, you have to be aware of the fact that the word grace is all you get here. So you can take it from any direction you want to take it. That's one of the wonderful things about Mudrooms is sometimes I'm lucky because I get to hear a lot of them that I don't get when I don't get to go to them. I get to hear a lot of them here on the radio station because we air the whole Mudrooms thing about a month after it happens.
Or that's right.
Several weeks after it happens. Anyway, so this theme is grace, and you can interpret that any way you want. So the next one is on the road. But as I understand it, you filled that up. You have all seven speakers on tap at this point?
Yeah, that seemed popular. People were jumping to tell a story about being on the road.
And that'll be on February 12th, in case people are circling dates on calendars. March 11th, a Tuesday, will be wildlife.
Yeah, and it's two words, wildlife. So
yeah.
It could either be about an animal encounter or about somebody who was a crazy partier or, you know, just having a wild experience in their life.
Right. So, and there's three spots left for that. And are you still looking for musicians for that one? You were about a week ago.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, musicians are always welcome at these things. The music Wednesday night, by the way, is Tyler Gress and his dad, George.
That's right.
Yeah,
father-son.
Father-son music. Okay. And you try to have a musical interlude in the midst of the seven presentations.
Yeah, we have music beforehand when people are kind of coming in, and then we take a 15-20 minute intermission and have some music during that time as well.
Okay. And then in April, on a Wednesday, you're doing Deception.
Deception.
And there's all kinds of spots open there. There's a number of possibilities. And a musician, it said in the last email I got, said also looking for a musician. And then the season closes out on May 13th, a Tuesday, with Close Calls.
Yep.
And again, all you get to put the talk together is the words. And however you want to take those and whatever you want to do with them is free game, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we've been so lucky with people, speaking and telling stories with just that as a starting point. People that don't do this for a living, maybe aren't, you know, professional public speakers, but just are your friends and neighbors who are telling stories. And it's been really fun to hear what people come up with.
Occasionally, I play one of those on this show, and I am amazed at the composure that people exhibit, knowing, as I know who's talking, not all of them are, you know, like trained or frequent public speakers. So they kind of rise out of themselves in order to do this. I think some of that's the audience and the setting, because it's a friendly little arrangement. I mean, you feel like you're among friends when you sit down at this thing. Even though there's 100 people in the church, listening to the deal, it's still a chance to kind of sit down with your friends and listen to their stories,
right,
sort of thing. This got started, I think, back east somewhere. I can't remember what the first one of these was, and then you picked it up out of Anchorage when Amanda ran into it up there, and it was called Arctic Entries.
Right. And in Baltimore, it's called Stoops, the idea of being that's where people gather to tell stories.
Yeah, and down here, it's Mudrooms, which is totally appropriate.
Yeah, regionally appropriate, absolutely.
Somewhere to take off your extra tufts and let your hair down and get with your friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Northern Light Church, Mudrooms, and the theme is awkward. Hey, Elena, thanks for coming down and telling us all about what's happening and what's coming up.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Yep. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you later.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 13th of December, 2013. It's the birthday of Ross McDonald, Los Gatos, California, 1915, author of the Lou Archer mystery novels. It was McDonald who wrote the line, "Never sleep with anyone whose troubles are worse than your own." He wrote by hand in spiral-bound notebooks, about 3 pages a day, sitting in the same bedroom chair, working on several books at once, sometimes getting ideas by going to criminal trials. It's the birthday of Heinrich Heine, born in Dusseldorf, Germany, 1797, one of the most popular German poets of the 19th century. Many of his poems set to music by Schubert, Schumann, Mendelssohn, and Brahms. It was Heinrich Heine who said the Romans would never have found time to conquer the world if they had been obliged first to learn Latin. It's the birthday of the poet James Wright, born Martins Ferry, Ohio, 1927. His father worked at the same glass factory for 50 years. His mother left school at 14 to work in a laundry. James went to Kenyon College on the GI Bill, graduated Phi Beta Kappa, became a teacher, taught at the University of Minnesota, McAllister College, Hunter College. He loved teaching, considered it a high art. His first book of poetry was The Green Wall in 1957. He died in 1980 of cancer of the tongue. James Wright, who said, "Being a poet sometimes puts you at the mercy of life, and life is not always merciful." And it's the birthday of the playwright Mark Connelly, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 1890, author of the play Green Pastures. Once sitting at lunch, a man felt Connelly's bald head and said, "Why, your head feels as smooth as my wife's behind." And Connelly reached up and felt his own head and said, "So it does, so it does." Here's a poem for today by Stephen Dunn entitled Mercy. The music was fidgety, arch, an orchestral version of a twang. Welcome to atonal hell. Welcome to the execution of a theory, I kept thinking, thinking, thinking. I hadn't felt a thing. Was it old-fashioned of me to want to, or were feelings as usual part of the problem? The conductor seemed to flail more than lead, his baton evidence of something unresolved, perhaps recent trouble at home. And though I liked the cellist, especially the way she held her instrument, unless you had a taste for unhappiness, you didn't want to look at the first violinist's face. My wife whispered to me, "This music is better than it sounds." I reminded myself the world outside might be a worse place than where I was now, though that seemed little reason to take heart. Instead, I closed my eyes, thought about a certain mezzo-soprano who could gladden a sad day anywhere, but one January night in Milan went a full octave into the beyond. Sometimes escape can be an art or a selfishness or just a gift you need to give yourself. Whichever, I disappeared for a while, left my body behind to sit there, nod, applaud at the appropriate time. Mercy, a poem by Stephen Dunn from his collection What Goes On, published by W.W. Norton, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org, and by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Here after 3:30, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. My next guest is here to tell us about a very stirring film, which is going to show once here in the Juneau area tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and that is a film called Escape Fire. Dr. George Brown is here. George is a pediatrician with Glacier Pediatrics, and I saw this film, I guess, in April and became so fired up over it that he bought his own copy, and it's going to be showing at the Nickelodeon tomorrow night at 7. George, tell us a little bit about Escape Fire and why it's titled that and like that.
Well, first I want to explain that I'm a member of the League of Women Voters, and our league decided the whole issue about the confusion, a lot of the misinformation regarding our healthcare system needs all the education it can, and so we're sponsoring this as one of our public education outreaches. And this movie is a documentary that basically points out why and how our health care system is broken. And in fact, as the viewer's guide that came with the movie points out, we don't have a health care system, we have a disease care system. And that's a very good way to understand what this movie he's trying to point out is where these problems are. It has nothing to do with the politics of how to fix it. It just says it really is a problem, and it, as politicians have known for decades, it's way too expensive, and we cannot continue. What we've got has got to change. And in fact, the metaphor for the movie is called Escape Fire, and it came from a speech that Dr. Don Berwick, who is in the movie, and was a director of Medicaid and Medicare for quite a while. He's also a pediatrician. He said there was a situation, I think in the 40s, in which there was a big fire, I think in Montana, Wyoming, and there was one firefighter who recognized it was hopeless, and he built a fire around him, and he gave him a safety place. He tried to get his friends or his fellow firefighters to join him, and they didn't. They all perished. And that's the metaphor that our system is in.
However, the second part of that metaphor also applies, and I think that's the point that the film makes, and that is that because of the actions of the guy who actually set the escape fire, the principles of physics now we understand, if you take fuel away from a fire, it can't burn.
Right.
And that is now the standard practice. If a firefighting crew finds itself in the path of an oncoming wall of flame, they're instructed now to set an escape fire and to basically burn up as much of the fuel around them as they can and then stand in the center of the burn space, which should help them to escape. So the second half of the metaphor, I think, says that this is within our power to do something about.
Yes.
But exactly what kind of steps to take, I think the film does suggest some responses that we may be able to have to try to help fix the healthcare system in the West.
Well, not only that, it's got some very good examples, particularly the Cleveland Clinic, where doctors got together and decided to set up a system entirely different than the standard one we're used to. There's also a former Aetna health insurance executive. He actually went and saw a clinic being held in West Virginia where thousands of people came on the weekend so if they get health care, they couldn't get anywhere else. And it really touched him, and he said, we can do better than this. And it also deals a lot with the problems of post-traumatic stress disorder with so many of our veterans. So it really covers the gamut of a lot of the issues. But I guess the main thing I want to get across is it challenges each of us as persons. We all have health and disease problems to face up to our responsibility to deal with what we can do about it, and it makes that point very clear.
So you've been a pediatrician for a considerable portion of your life. Do you guide your patients into these kinds of practices?
I certainly try to, and of course, for most of human history, one of the major problems we dealt with was infection. And in fact, for a good part of human history, many, many children did not survive because of infectious diseases. And we learned through the science of what caused these, and eventually we learned how to make vaccinations that prevent those. And that's the hallmark of what pediatricians do, because we know if you can prevent something from happening in the first place, you're way ahead. And that's one reason why so many people are so much more healthy than they used to be. We live longer, and that's one of the traps we get into. We think we're really great, and so we can maybe not live so sensibly, and we have obesity, and we have drug abuse, and we have injuries and things that they're also preventable, and we got to work on those.
There was an item recently that was released by the Centers for Disease Prevention and Control, and they were talking about the fact that we still need to vaccinate our children against measles, not because we pretty much wiped out the measles virus in the United States, but it can still be imported, and if we're not vaccinated against it, our children could contract imported measles and start the whole cycle over again.
Yes, because that virus is still around. It's interesting. There's one virus that we have totally controlled, and that's smallpox. We came very close to doing the same thing for polio, but we didn't do that. And I often say to families here, we live in a town where cruise ships come in, and there's measles, and there have been a few cases of measles in this country. It hasn't spread the way it used to, but if you hear there's measles or polio on a ship coming into this town, please bring your kids in and get them immunized.
Yeah. So this is we're not out of the woods in any way, and it's extremely important, I think, that people find ways to improve their own health, to maintain their own health, because that's really the critical part. You cannot rely on the health professions to do this for you. I think that's really the critical message.
And it certainly is. Let me just add a little bit about how it's going to be done tomorrow night. Dr. Kim Smith, who's a retired family physician, and Kate Slotnick, who is the supervisor for public health clinics in Southeast Alaska, will be there to answer questions. They're not going to make any presentation. And Crystal Borlin, who is the navigator for the Affordable Care Act, will be available if anyone has questions about that. But we want to stress the League of Women Voters prides itself on being nonpartisan. We're not taking sides about the political, and it's a very heated political issue, and we appreciate that. We just want to educate the public about it. In this particular movie, which was produced for this very purpose, does it as well as any can do it. And so we hope lots of people will show up, and if you've got questions, we'll do our best to answer them.
Yeah, I think it's critical to understand, too, that the film is not about Obamacare. That's not the issue that's at the center of this whole thing. The questions that are being raised and the call to action here has to do with the health crisis, not an insurance crisis or a political crisis over how we insure Americans or what that's about. This is a different issue.
Yeah, Kane is trying to point out we don't have a health care system, we have a disease care system, but we can have a health care system. And how we get there is what we're talking about.
Okay, one showing tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Nickelodeon Goldtown Theater. And the panel discussion or information to follow, and a number of people showing up particularly to talk about various aspects of this thing.
That's correct.
And thank you very much, Dr. Brown, for donating or for allowing the use of your copy of the film so that this event can occur. And thanks to the League of Women Voters for sponsoring this and lots of other opportunities for people to find information about an issue.
Thank you, Dr. Moore.
This is Bird Note. Of all the surprises the upcoming winter might bring, among the most wonderful would be a grand influx of northern forest owls. Every few years, a surprising number of magnificent forest owls move south from the boreal forest of Canada and Alaska into the northern tier of states, especially the northern Midwest. It's likely because of a big decline in their normal rodent prey. Huge great gray owls, more than 2 feet tall with intense yellow eyes. Northern hawk owls, long-tailed and streamlined, hunting from an open perch like a falcon. And shy boreal owls, hardly ever seen unless they show up in someone's backyard or the neighborhood park during one of these special winters. Birders call these owl-laden winter events flight years or invasions, while scientists call them eruptions, movements of large numbers of birds after the breeding season into areas beyond their normal range. February of 2013 delivered a sensational owl eruption to northern Minnesota. Many eruption years are followed by what is known as an echo effect, another, if somewhat smaller, influx of northern owls. Will this be an echo year? Stay tuned.
It's about 23 minutes, or 18 minutes, let's call it 18 minutes, before 4 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. My next two guests are here to tell us about the fundraising activities of the softball teams at both of our high schools, I think, right? No, just TMHS. Okay, and so John Boucher and Heidi Gray are here. John is the coach for the softball team, and Heidi's part of the booster club, all right?
Right.
So, I think anyone who's not been sleeping under a rock knows that it's now necessary for you all to do a certain amount of fundraising. They don't pay for the whole sports program, do they?
No, that's correct. Through participation fees and fundraising, the girls have to, roll up their sleeves, so to speak, and do some fundraising during the off season to help defray some of the overall expenses of the cost. Of the program.
Can you give us an idea of what kinds of costs you're defraying with these with the fundraising activities?
Sure, we have equipment costs, replacement equipment, that type of stuff. One of our bigger expenses too is the ongoing rental of the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. As you know, it's not really conducive to playing softball. Our season starts officially March 1st. And so it's not really conducive at that time of year to practicing outdoors. And so the field house has been a fantastic facility for a lot of the sports that play in the spring. And so, but this coming year we've been told that the district had provided a portion of the rental for the month of March, but this year we have to fundraise for that particular piece.
Okay. So much more a need than there has been in the past.
Correct.
Yeah. But still equipment, and when you play in any other place, you got travel expenses. Is the team going to be permitted to travel this next year?
Yes. The as far as we know, we'll be able to complete our conference schedule. The policy is there are so many kids allowed to travel, and so if we have a larger roster than the travel size, that could be an incremental cost too as well, which, you know, when we have a lot of girls participating in the program over that traveling number, it's really good to be able to reward them for games in other places, and so so that's another thing too that we're dealing with in the overall picture.
Heidi, how big is the Booster Club?
Oh, probably about 10 of us.
Wow. You got a major job, and you need a major membership drive, don't you? So how many girls are participating in softball?
It fluctuates. We had about a little over 30 sign up at the start. And, you know, our numbers rise and fall But we've had about 30 or so, and going back to that traveling number, I believe it's 22 this year. And so if we want all the girls to travel, we need a bigger budget.
Yeah. So Heidi, what kinds of events are you planning to raise these funds?
Well, one of our big fundraisers is this weekend, Saturday the 14th at Thunder Mountain High School. We're having breakfast with Santa. Santa will be there. There will be cookie decorating, story time with one of Santa's favorite elves, and make reindeer candy canes, along with a delicious breakfast of like pancakes and sausage and OJ and coffee. And we sold almost 500 tickets so far.
Mm.
And last year was our first year last year, we served 200. So those are the kind of problems we like to have.
I'm assuming that you still have tickets for sale.
We do still have
How
tickets.
How would one acquire one of these tickets?
You can either come to the door Saturday, anytime between 8 and 11, or you can email TMHS, breakfastwithsanta@gmail.com, and mm-hmm. leave your number or an email, and we'll get back to you and get somebody over there to get you some tickets.
So beyond costs, this all goes to the TMHS softball
team? Yep, 100%.
Okay, mm-hmm. And the softball players are out there slinging hash? Is that
They are the serving breakfast and helping with the stations that we have there, and so...
And this large crowd of boosters, all 10 of you, are going to be up to your apron strings in pancake batter, right?
Yes, and Coach Boucher is our head flapjack flipper.
Are you
trained? I like to hide in the back. In other words.
Are you trained to do this?
Well, there were no complaints last year.
No complaints last year. Okay, so good. All right.
Oh, nothing but compliments on the flapjack.
So I can see your resume when you leave here. And flips flapjacks well.
You know, when you're a coach, you know you have to wear many hats in this town. And,
yeah,
and a lot of our volunteer
cakes,
coaches are very willing to step in and help the programs where they need to. And we really appreciate the support of the community that we receive. They're just fantastic in terms of the amount of time and energy and resources that they put into sports programs in this town. It's fantastic.
It is true. We are a town that is excellent at providing for ourselves and our activities, and a lot of people really come out and do wonderful things. What does your schedule look like when you start up? You're going to start, as you said, in March, you'll start practicing. And then who do we play against? Who's in our...
Within our conference is Juneau Douglas High School, which is new this year. They were actually moved into the Southeast Conference. Previously, they played in the Rail Belt Conference with larger schools. But one of the reasons they moved down is budget constraints. And so this year we'll have Juneau Douglas along with Ketchikan and Sitka in our conference. And we hope to have some other non-conference games against potentially a tournament in Sitka or up north. And so those are other activities that we're looking at, depending on how successful our fundraising efforts are.
Yeah. Well, I hear that. So the big breakfast is the big event, but what else do you have on the plate for?
Well, we have a banner fundraiser where we solicit the businesses to see if they would support the softball team. And there are different amounts that they can donate, but the gold level is a 3x5 banner that is placed on the fence with their logo and anything they'd like to have printed on the logo, on the banner, on the fence. We have...
Last year we had a raffle, but we don't know if we're going to try that again, but mm-hmm. the banner and the breakfast are our three big ones. We've done smaller things like bake sales mm-hmm. as well.
And and we did breakfast with the Easter Bunny, or at the Easter
right.
egg hunt, we did mm-hmm. Sausages or burritos or whatever for people who were hungry before the Easter egg hunt.
Mm-hmm. So. Which is a nice annual event that occurs
mm-hmm.
over at TMHS.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So season practices start. Are you still looking for players, by the way? Are you trying to recruit?
Yeah. Players will sign up. A lot of girls are in other activities at this point in
mm-hmm.
time, and we can't officially practice, but we're kind of doing what we refer to as open gyms and at the – at the field house right now. And so, yeah, we've had some successful meetings where, you know, we've gotten girls to organizational meetings. So we're pretty well underway in terms of the notification of kids. But if, for instance, a kid moves into town.
Yeah. Or a parent is interested in getting the child involved in this,
yes,
they can certainly still join. It's not,
yes,
not like a closed deal at this point. And assuming that you need more than 10 people to be your entire booster club, how do people get involved in your booster club? They let you know that they'd like to come out and help serve some pancakes and relieve this poor man of having to be the flipper.
They could send an email to the email address we talked about earlier, tmhsbreakfastwithsanta@gmail.com. They could call my cell phone number. It's 988-7153. Or I guess just get in touch with the school. The high school, and let them know that they're interested in volunteering. That would be great.
Yeah. So if they come to the breakfast and they like what they see, they might lean across the counter and say, "Hey, when's your next meeting?" Right.
That's right.
And when is your next meeting?
Probably next Monday night after the pancake breakfast.
Okay. So after the pancake breakfast, yes, in the evening, you're going to get together again.
Yes.
And on Monday night,
right,
and maybe talk things over a little bit like that, and see if you can do some wrist exercises for the coach to get him back so he can throw the ball after all of that heavy flipping.
Hopefully I'll have washed the syrup off of my fingertips, et cetera. So.
Yeah, well, good luck with all of that. A little appropriate music to go out with here. Thank you so much for informing us, and everyone needs to come to the pancake breakfast, and again, the times are...
8 to 11, Saturday, this Saturday, December 14th.
Oh, and, yes, if you want to come to this thing, there's an opportunity for you to win a ticket in the next, say, 15 minutes or so. That's how much time we have left on the air for Juno Afternoon. If you will call 586-1212 and ask for Jeff, then what you need to do in order to win the thing is to tell me or tell him the title of the next song that you hear. And I'll tell you right now that it's the first two words in the chorus. So here we go.
Saturday summers, when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard, and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains, and we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure of my self-esteem, 'cause the fastest, the strongest played shortstop and first. The last ones they picked were the worst. I never needed to ask, it was sealed. I just took up my place in right field, playing right field. It's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Playing right field can be lonely and dull. Little leagues never have lefties that pull. I dream of the day when they hit one my way. They never did, but still I would pray that I'd make a fantastic catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this long reverie and pray that the ball never came out to me. Here in right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Off in the distance, the game's dragging on.
there's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling and I don't know what for. Suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above and a baseball falls into my glove. Here in right field, it's important, you know, you gotta know how to catch, you gotta know how to throw. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow.
Minutes before 4 o'clock, you've been listening to Juneau Afternoon today. Pat Moore, your host today. We've heard from Stacy Polson telling us all about events coming up at the Nugget Mall over the next several days, including visits with Santa and gift wrapping going on all through the night before Christmas. Mudrooms tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and also tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you have your choice. The Goldtown Nickelodeon is showing the special film Escape Fire at 7 p.m., and we heard a little bit about a fundraiser coming up, a big breakfast event coming up at TMHS this weekend. So take advantage of some of those opportunities. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Ann Fuller will be the host for Juneau Afternoon. She'll be talking about Saturday's Coffee and Collections presentation on the settling of Mendenhall Valley. Jim Garrity's going to be our guest. The Midwinter Vocal Festival, she'll talk about the Juneau Community Foundation and some of their activities. And the Eagle Crest folks will be down to tell us a little bit about what's going up on the slopes. This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast on translators, K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871, We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and thank you very much, listeners like you.